This morning on Wake Up with Hope, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will be having our devotional thought, and we will have a special prayer session with our good friends from the Let's Pray team.
Plus, we're making pumpkin soup with the Good Food Kitchen. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss a thing. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for choosing to join us this morning.
We are so happy and excited to be here waking up with the hope and the joy that only can be found in Jesus Christ. And today, we want to share that special hope and joy with you.
And even though Thanksgiving has come and gone, we're still technically in autumn.
That's true.
Is that right?
That's right.
Yep. You better believe it. That's why we have a delicious and creamy Thai pumpkin soup. How does that sound?
That sounds really good.
That's in today's menu. So if you're trying to sneak in all the pumpkin and autumn you can while still here, don't go anywhere. Chef Jeremy Dixon will be sharing a delicious fall recipe in just a few moments. But first, let's take a look back at this day in history.
On December 6, 1884, in Washington, D.C., workers placed a 9-inch aluminum pyramid inscribed with Laus Deo, meaning praise be to God, atop a tower of white marble, completing the construction of an impressive monument to the city's namesake and the nation's first president, George Washington. The idea for the monument dates back to 1783, over 100 years prior to its completion. It wasn't until 1832, however, 33 years after Washington's death, that anyone really did anything about the monument. That year, a private Washington National Monument Society was formed and things got underway until finally, 52 years later, it was completed.
Wow. Talk about procrastination. I mean, have you ever had an idea take you over 100 years to finally realize? Well, of course not. But the truth is that many of us do procrastinate. We put things off, don't we? We do. Things that could be done today, well, for several reasons. While procrastination is never a good idea, never is, we want to especially encourage you to stop putting off a relationship with Jesus. And not even for another minute. You see, God is waiting. He's waiting with open arms to be your guide, your friend, your savior, your everything. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." Friends, don't wait another minute. Give him all. Give them all.
Amen. It's time now. It's time to sneak in a last bit of fall while we can. The Good Food Kitchen's very own chef, Jeremy Dixon, brings us a delicious recipe, a Thai pumpkin soup. We'd even recommend saving this one for those cold winter nights.
Welcome to the Good Food Kitchen. I'm Jeremy Dixon from the Revive Cafes in Auckland, and today I'm going to share with you a delicious soup that is the favourite at my cafes, the creamy Thai pumpkin soup, and you are going to love it. Today you're going to need to make this great dish the following. First job, we want to get the onions on. So we're going to use two onions for this dish. We want to really add lots of sweetness and lots of flavour as a kind of a base to get it started. So we'll just chop these onions. Now we don't need to do them too delicately. They're going to be blended up later, so we can just kind of chunkily do them. You don't need to be too chef-y, just pack them up any way you can. I'm going to put them in this hot pot here. Just a little bit of oil. and put them in and get them underway. Love that sizzle when you put something in a pot. You know, cooking has commenced. Stir it up, get them underway. Gonna add some garlic, 2 cloves of garlic. Easy way to do your garlic is just throw it in the garlic crusher, skin on, and put it in, just like that. We're also gonna add some ginger puree. Now you can use whole ginger, fresh ginger if you want to, but these little containers you get from the supermarket are actually really good as well. And it's a quick way to be able to inject some flavor into a dish. Just gonna add a good tablespoon in here. So by all means, cut your fresh ginger yourself, but it's a really quick way of getting some flavor. However, never buy garlic in those little containers. You've got to use garlic fresh. Garlic that comes in those containers is just, it's not really garlic, it just smells terrible, so don't use it. But you can use the ginger anytime. So those are underway. We're going to add some curry paste, and these are great ingredients to have in your pantry or fridge that adds instant flavor really, really quickly. And you get red, green, yellow, all these different curry pastes. I'm just going to use a tablespoon of red curry paste. And again, get to know your curry paste. This one here is reasonably mild, so it's not going to burn my mouth off. So get to know them. If in doubt, just add a little bit. You can always add some more later. But it's very difficult to take it out of the dish once it's in there, so you don't want to burn your mouth off too much. So mix that in there. So that just adds instant flavour. Curry pastes have lots of some chilies. They have ginger, garlic, lemongrass, a lot of other great spices that really make this soup taste amazing. Can add some salt. Just turn up the gas a bit. I'm going to add some water. Now I've pre-boiled this. So these onions are now nice and kind of sweet and caramelized. So we're going to add some water to it there. That's about 6 cups of water. Now normally you might want to add raw pumpkin, but to save time I've pre-roasted some pumpkin, so I'm just going to use it just pre-roasted, so it's pretty much ready to go straight away. So if you use raw pumpkin, from this moment you probably want to cook it for about 20 to 30 minutes until the pumpkin is soft. And pumpkin just has a lovely sweetness, and who doesn't like a pumpkin soup? Look at that. We're going to add some honey. You can use honey, or sometimes I use date puree at my cafes just to give a bit of sweetness. So all the ingredients are in there. So we're just going to use our trusty stick blender, my favourite tool in the kitchen. So it's just like a blender that you can use in a pot. And we're just going to blend this up. Okay, I think that's mostly done. If you don't have a stick blender, you can just put it into a blender or a food processor and blend it that way. But just obviously it's a bit more extra dishes to do. So we're going to add some coconut cream, and this just adds a lovely creaminess. You don't need much coconut cream, so we're just going to use a little can, or probably half a big can. We're going to stir it around in there. And we're just going to reserve a little bit in the bottom that we can use for garnish later. And this soup is pretty much done. Look at that. So if you've got the pre-roasted pumpkin, you can literally make this soup in not many minutes at all. So there we go. All we have to do now is serve it up. And it's really important presentation-wise to make sure you do those little extra things in a dish to make it great. So we're just gonna... So nice white... Bowl's always good for presentation. And then just a few little tips, things on the top, just make it just that little bit special. So we're gonna just put a little bit of coconut cream from before that we've got left over. Just a few little zigzags. Nothing too flash, just something in the middle just to give it a bit of extra specialness. And just a bit of coriander on top just to finish it off and make it look beautiful and just cared for. And there you have a delicious Thai creamy pumpkin soup. A lovely Thai twist on a classic favourite. Once you make it once, you'll make it forever. It's amazing.
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, we will have the Let's Pray team leading us in prayer. And don't forget, If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content. And you can check out our YouTube channel. Simply search Wake Up With Hope and keep up with each one of our episodes. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. We're gearing up for another prayer session with Let's Pray team.
You know, prayer is essential to the Christian life. Through prayer, we call heavenly helpers to our side. And through prayer, we give God permission to work mightily in our life and in the lives of our loved ones. Shall we pray? Let's pray.
Well, good morning to each and every one of you. I am so thrilled that you are waking up with hope. My name is Chris Holland, and I am one of the hosts of Let's Pray, the place where you don't have to pray alone. I have the privilege of co-hosting this program with Season Cromwell. We are on air from 8 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Thursday. You know, friends, I was thinking about something to share with you and to pray about. And one of the things that I thought about is, you know, in these times that are going on in the world, there's something for me that's really just one of the most important things, and that's family. You know, it's interesting, as Jesus was dying on the cross, you know, he could have been concerned about a huge number of things. But I want you to take note of one of the last things that Jesus said. It's there in John chapter 20 and verse 26. The Bible says, "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved," speaking of John, "standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home." You see, Jesus was concerned with family. One of the last things he did was to take care and make sure that his mother was taken care of. And you know, family is so important to provide that support structure around us, to give us encouragement. Now, maybe there's somebody watching here this morning that is saying, "Yeah, but I don't have any family. My mother and father passed away a long time ago, or I was given up for adoption. I don't even know who my mom and dad are." Or maybe you have a strained relationship with your mother and father. Well, you know, the Bible gives us a wonderful promise, and there are two of them I'm going to share with you. The first is found in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. There in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5, I want you to take note. The Apostle Paul writes these words, which are profound words, that speaking of Jesus, that he came to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You see, friends, if you don't have a good relationship with your parents, or maybe your parents have passed away, Jesus wants to adopt you, that you would be his son, that you would be his daughter. And in fact, the promise is not just an if promise, but Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5 tells us that you were created to be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:5 says, "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself." You were made to be a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ. You see, our earthly family is important. They provide that support structure. But even more important than our earthly family is our heavenly family, where we become a son or a daughter of Jesus Christ, and he becomes our father, the perfect father that any of us could ever have. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you have offered adoption, that we might become a son or a daughter when we come to you. I pray, dear God, that our families would be blessed. I pray for all of the families represented on Wake Up With Hope right now, this morning, that each and every one of those families would be blessed, and that we would experience the blessing of family, whether we have a physical family or we just have our heavenly family. Whatever it may be, Lord, please bless the families. Please help us to experience the blessing of family. And Lord, Help us to live life to its fullest in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear friends, I pray and I hope that each and every family is blessed. God bless each and every one of you. Back to you in the studio.
Amen. You know, we appreciate our praying friends. Well, it's almost time for us to be blessed by the Word through a devotional thought. And after this short break, Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 will bring us hope from the Word of God. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back.
We are so glad that you have chosen Wake Up with Hope to start your day this morning. Welcome back.
As promised, this morning we have Elizabeth Talbot from Jesus 101 who will be sharing this morning's devotional thought.
Hello, everyone. Elizabeth Talbot here. We continue with our Fear Not series. And I know that there are many things that might give us fear. Finances or the future or relationships or things like that. But today I want to talk to you about something different. I want to talk to you about unexpected storms. So today's title is Fear Not Unexpected Storms. You know, things that you were not expecting at all, that you were not planning for, and all of a sudden, bam, it comes. And you're like, what am I going to do about this? I'm going to show you a photo of the last time I was on the Sea of Galilee. This is a big boat, and it was quite a large group, actually. And it's such a beautiful thing to visit the Sea of Galilee. But every time I go, I think of the same thing. I think of this particular storm that we're going to study today. How this storm affected the disciples so rapidly, so quickly that they didn't know what to do. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations like that. It could be a bad report from the lab. It could be something that happened in society. It can be a fire in our house. It can be any type of thing that we were not counting on, that we were not planning for. And so today we are going to go to this storm on the Sea of Galilee in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 8. That's where we're going to head today. Verse 23 is where we start. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. It's interesting because these two words actually in the Greek are very interesting. Great is mega. And the storm, Matthew chooses a word in Greek, seismos, that we use for earthquakes, like seismology or seismograph, right? He says this was a mega shaking. It wasn't just a little storm. It was a mega shaking. The Sea of Galilee is about 700 feet below sea level, and so it's prone to these storms because the wind comes through the hills. But the size of the boat doesn't help. You know, they discovered from the first century a fishing boat that would have been pretty much the size that Jesus, the boat where Jesus was at, would have been. And so there is a museum in Ginosar in Israel, and they have this boat they discovered in 1986. And we went there, and then this is a little video clip that was taken there. It's such a small boat. It's like 8.2 meters long and 2.3 meters wide. And I tell you, 13 people, if the 12 disciples were with him, this would have been already overcrowded without a storm. But with the storm, they're going down. And the verse says that in this mega seismos, the boat was being covered with the waves. And so you can imagine this hectic moment, this sudden storm. And I brought some little ropes here that I have from my camping equipment. Imagine the disciples on this side of the reality with ropes, trying the best they can, trying to bring the boat in. And then at the end of this same verse, in verse 24, it says, but Jesus himself was asleep. So I have a pillow here for Jesus' reality, and I have the rope for the disciples' reality. And the reason why I brought a pillow is because when Mark tells the same story in Mark chapter 4, verse 38, it says that Jesus was asleep with his head on a pillow in the stern. So this is a pillow. Jesus is sleeping. They're going crazy. So there are two opposite realities. And sometimes we have to choose which reality we're going to fall into when we hit a sudden storm. And so Jesus is sleeping. And they came to him, verse 25, and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." Again, this same reality of the desperate cry for help. And the fishermen, in this case, are coming to the carpenter for help. They've been in storms many times, but this storm is different. And it's interesting because the Greek original language here has only three words. In English, there are more, but in Greek, it says something like, "Lord, save, perishing." You know, when you only have those one-word prayers left because the storm is so strong, so fierce that you only get some words to pray. That's where the disciples are. "Lord, save, perishing." And Jesus says, on the same verse, on the next verse, verse 26, "Why are you afraid?" You know, this rope versus pillow reality. You know, they're going crazy with the boat and he's like asleep. And they're saying, "Please save us, we're perishing." And Jesus says, "Why are you afraid?" What do you mean, why? Isn't it obvious why? Because we're in the middle of a storm that we cannot control. We can't fix it. We don't even understand it. So he addresses their fear before he addresses the storm. "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" So obviously the faith level has something to do with which reality we choose in the middle of the sudden storm. Then after he talked to them about their fear and their faith, he got up and rebuked the wind and the sea as if they were two misbehaving children. He rebuked the winds and the sea and he became perfectly calm. So what is interesting about the Greek is that the perfectly calm now is the word mega again. They got a mega calm. Before they had a mega sismos, a mega shaking, and they couldn't control it, and Jesus was sleeping. They asked for help, and Jesus said, "Why are you afraid?" And then they had a mega shaking. He brought a mega calm. There's always two realities in every sudden storm. One is that we can't control it. We can't fix it. And the other one is that Jesus is in the boat. And the reason why he could sleep is the same reason why I could sleep when I was a little kid. You know, when we went on trips, I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know how long it was going to be. I didn't know when even storms came on the road. But my daddy was driving, and that was good enough for me. Well, Jesus is sleeping for the same reason. His daddy is in control of the storm. And our daddy is in control of the storm. They were so amazed, says verse 27, the men were amazed and said, "What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" Jesus would have power not only over nature, but if you continue reading, he would have power over demons, over disease, and even over death in the next chapter or so. So God is in control of all of our sudden storms. We are not. God is with us. And what is important to remember is that the storms don't catch Jesus by surprise. He knows the storms. And even though we may feel powerless, remember this, we are powerless. As we have said in another program, we are powerless, but Jesus is powerful. So the same way that he has saved us, and I think it's very interesting to remember this, we couldn't save ourselves. We were powerless over saving ourselves. And Jesus was powerful to save us through his blood at the cross. The same way that our salvation works, our daily lives work. So when we are facing, you know, sudden storms that we cannot do anything about, that we don't understand, can't fix, and can't control, remember, God is powerful and he will see you through. After all, peace is not the absence of trouble. Is the presence of Christ. He's in our boat. He's God with us. So fear not sudden storms.
Thank you so much, Elizabeth, for those inspiring words.
Very, very encouraging. And friends, thank you for spending time with us this morning. And if you would like to learn more about Wake Up with Hope and our Hope Channel family, share with a friend, or even rewatch some parts of today's program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to wake up with us tomorrow morning, friends. Live It will be back. We will have new music by Hope Harmonies, an inspiring devotional thought, and so much more. We hope to see you then. Plus, if you've enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible and about Jesus, please visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Amen. Well, friends, that's all for today. But before we go, we want to leave you with today's Bible promise. And it comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13.
Let's claim this one together. It says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it."
Friend, whenever you feel tempted, no matter how strong the temptation, remember that God has promised a way out. There is a way out. He's promised to walk with you through it all. You can overcome in Christ. Just trust in His promises and remember that He is faithful. Let's
pray. Amen. Amen. Dear Jesus, thank You so much that You have provided a way out. It doesn't say that we won't get into a temptation, but it says You are faithful and You provide a way out. And so we want to claim that promise today that all things are possible when we believe in You and we put our faith and our hope in You, Jesus. Thank You that today is going to be a day of victories. It's going to be a day of praise. It's going to be a day of joy. And it's going to be a day of winning with Jesus. We give You our day. In Jesus' name, amen.